God thanks you for everything that is done here by the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go into Ephesians. Somebody say, Ephesians? Again? Oh, Lord. Listen. One more time out of Ephesians. I'm not saying this is the last time, but we're not into that part of the day. But Ephesians chapter 5. What a great lesson. So far, and Paul's been just teaching so many truths, and today is no exception. I just simply say, man, you say that about all of them, but yeah, that's the truth. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to concentrate on verses 15 and 16. So let's stand. Let's bring everything into light. Let's start off at verse number 8. 7. Okay, so we start off 7. And let's go all the way to verse 20. And we're going to stick around 15 and 16 today. But just to get everything in context, to bring everything up to snuff, as they would say. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of life, of light, excuse me. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Father God, it is so important that we redeem the time. That we realize that the days are evil and that we don't have a lot of time. Let us realize how valuable time is and how it is so important that we take full advantage of every opportunity we have as believers to give glory to God and to give thanks to God for calling us out of darkness into His marvelous light. But not only calling us out of darkness into His marvelous light, but giving us light that we'd be able to walk in a dark world and tell a lost world about Jesus Christ and how good and wonderful He is. Thank you, Lord, for all those who have ears to hear. Let them hear what thus say the Lord our God. Amen. 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 PCP. Some people think of a chemical. PCP, everyone that works have one. Everyone that's ever worked receive one on their first day of employment. Many of us were instructed of the PCP long before we even took the job. Personal conduct policy. That's what we've been studying here in Ephesians chapter 4 and all the way through verse chapter 6. It's the Christian personal conduct policy. You know, this is pretty dry stuff. Pretty dry stuff. First thing an inmate receives when they come into the system is an inmate handbook. That's their Bible. Lets them know what to do, what they should do, what time is count time, what happens if they do certain things, where to find certain things, who to talk to about certain things. It is their playbook. I was thinking about this as the NFL draft, and it's a big deal. Cindy even talked about the draft. I said, what are you talking about, the draft? She mentioned the draft. So I know the NFL makes a big deal out of it. But one of the first things you receive as an NFL player once that team signs you is a personal conduct policy. Amen? One of the first things you receive. Recently drafted players are given hours and hours of classes on scams. Recently there was a scam, $19 million scam. Several players got caught up in it. They're given lessons on taking guns to airports. Don't seem like they even pay attention to it. On how to deal with prostitutes. Just had a player get caught in a prostitution ring. Drinking, number one problem in the NFL. DUIs. They tell you about drug testing. How many times you can get caught before you're suspended. Many of you probably think you get caught one time, you're suspended. No, their policy states you get 3. Gambling. Public speaking. They even talk to you about that. You sign on with Nike or one of them big companies, they tell you certain things you don't need to talk about. Say, even same-sex marriage and homosexuality, don't talk about that. Amen. Leave that alone. Jesus. Tim Tebow was preaching Jesus, and Kurt Warner, one of the ambassadors supposedly of Christianity, told him he needs to back off. Another quarterback, Plummer, Jake Plummer, told him the same thing. He needs to stop talking about Jesus so much. People don't like it. NFL don't like it. Talk about God all you want. Thank God all you want. They're talking about curfews. I talked to us a couple weeks ago. You get signed by the Yankees, and they tell you you can't be out all times of night. Can't wear your hair all down towards your neck. The owner of the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to get off the football stuff in a minute. But it's good stuff. The owner of the Carolina Panthers, when they drafted Cam Newton, and they noticed something different about Cam Newton, and they asked him, he said, why don't you have all them tattoos all over you? Cam Newton said, because I don't believe in tattoos. And the owner said, good. We like that. Because you represent that company. You represent that football team. And whether it's the NFL, the NBA, GM, IBM, Wheatland Tube, Walmart, Bob Evans, you all of us have a personal conduct policy. Okay? There's certain things they tell the waitresses at Bob Evans you can't do. Lori's a nurse at the hospital. She can't take that medicine home and give it to her husband. A lot of nurses get locked up. A lot of nurses like drugs. Walmart, when Walmart first opened in Liberty,
They fired a whole lot of folks. Because folks wasn't used to them cameras. Them cashiers wasn't used to them cameras, and them brothers was coming through with lawnmowers and everything else, and that'd be $3.50. Personal conduct policy. Paul is talking about a personal conduct policy today in Ephesians chapter 5. He's given the requirements of the Christian walk. We've been walking through the Spirit. We've been walking in the Spirit, walking in the light, walking in wisdom last week. Well, this week we're talking about walking in wisdom. We've talked about walking and walking and walking, and we're going to walk ourselves through Ephesians. Food for thought. If being a Christian was your employment, what would your standard of living be? That's a good question. Could you go to the boss and ask for a raise? Would you be nominated Employee of the Year? That's interesting, isn't it? Paul says, we ought to walk circumspectly. That's a big word. I'm not a man of big words. They kind of bother me. I have to say that. But Paul says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. What does that word mean? Bobby said, what does that word mean? Walk circumspectly. Careful. Discreet. Cautious. Soberly. Prudent. I like that one. Pay attention. Sober means not drunk, but pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention who you allow to come into your circle. Pay attention to who you befriend. Yes.
Amen.
Contrary to what Facebook said, you do not have 100 friends. Okay? You do not have 1,500 friends. Because somebody sent you a text saying, I want to be your friend. Walk circumspectly. What's Paul talking about? Look at Colossians 4 and 5. I thought that was a good place to start. Move to your right. Just a couple of books to your right. Paul has a method for his perceived madness. Some people say Paul was mad. Well, Paul says not to walk like fools, but he says walk circumspectly. How, Paul? He says walk in wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Godly wisdom toward them that are without. There's a way that Paul is saying that we as believers, once we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous life, been filled with the Spirit of God, there's a way that we ought to walk toward those that are without. Without what? Without the Lord. Without a Savior. There's a way we ought to behave. There's a way we ought to answer. There's a way we ought to perform on our jobs. When Jesus' shirts and hats and bracelets just don't get it. I know we like to wear that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with it. But if you're going to walk the walk or talk the talk, you must walk the walk. Paul said we ought to walk worthy. How? In all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. A forbearing love is a love that can handle the difficult things that life will throw at you. Paul said we ought to walk in wisdom. And if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know the God of the Word, it's going to be hard for you to walk in wisdom. He doesn't stop there in verse number 15. Verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Be a stand-up guy. Be a man or a woman of your word.
Yeah.
Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And the young people are not wrong with saying no. There's nothing wrong with saying no. We think something's wrong. We want to fit in. We want to fit in so bad with a dying world that we're afraid to say no. Mm-hmm. Are you afraid to say no? You don't have a problem. Somebody asked you to do some work. Everybody drinking and everybody cussing and everybody lying to their parents. Nothing wrong with saying no. Amen. That's part of walking circumspectly. Mm-hmm. Being a man or a woman of God in a dying world, you're going to say no a lot. I like what the writer of Psalms said in Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That, but what that's saying is that person knows how to say no to the ungodly advice that they'll get. Well, just try it one time. You know, every once in a while I'm riding around on the north side and I'll see someone that has been exposed to some type of cocaine, crack cocaine or some type of drug, and they're out of their mind. I'll just slow down a little bit. Okay? I'll just slow down a little bit and yeah, I'll say, great, to see, those are the effects of that. Okay? Back in the day, you used to call it a one-hitter quitter. All it takes is one hit to mess you up. Now you know. See, it's too late. Walk circumspectly. If someone tell you, you need to try this one time. You young girls, be careful. Amen. Little parties and stuff. People putting stuff in people's drinks and stuff. You pay attention. Yeah. Walk circumspectly. If you somewhere and you go and you will go to the bathroom. And I'm talking about your milk. Or your little huggy. Let me make it right. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools. That's the second part of it. Paul says, walk circumspectly, because if you're not walking circumspectly, how are you walking? If you're not walking in the wisdom of God, then you're walking in the wisdom of this world. And Paul is just pretty cut and dry. There ain't no middle ground. Well, I'm just straddling the fence. Well, I got one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. No. You either all in or you all out. Paul said, if you're not walking circumspectly, you're walking like a fool. That's what the Word of God says. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That's a command to the believer. There's a way to walk. Mm-hmm. Not as fools.
Amen.
Now I've heard people say it. Well, you shouldn't call a person a fool. Well, the Bible does.
Amen.
To the tune of 69 times in the Bible.
Amen.
People are called fools. See, some of y'all came up when I did in Mr. T. How many of y'all remember Mr. T? Mr. T had a mohawk. And he was fighting Rocky Balboa and he was planning on putting a hurting on Rocky Balboa. And now he said, I pity the fool. And that's what God is saying in his word. Don't walk as fool, because the world is Mr. T.
Uh-huh.
And it's not going to have any pity on you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You start off on a bad way. The world is not going to have any pity on you fools.
Uh-huh.
The world says, I pity the fool.
Uh-huh.
And what's a fool? A fool is someone that's foolish.
Yes,
unadvised, unaccountable, silly, thoughtless. unmanageable by the things of God. I'm giving marriage counseling here. Since there's nothing in the Bible about dating, I'm just helping some of you young women and some of you young men, because some of these young girls is just silly and foolish. So sometimes y'all automatically think I'm talking about the men, the young boys, and the young boys can be silly and thoughtless too.
Amen.
Go read some Jasmine, you run into a guy that's laughing all the time. What you laughing about? Everything funny. Well, y'all 14 years old. Tell me about the 10-year plan. Tell me, that's a good question, boy. Is that not a good question? Tell me about your 10-year plan. You 14, 24, what you plan on being? I'm a rapper. I'm going to be a rapper. You got to have a plan. See, the foolish person don't have a plan. They're not worried about tomorrow. Listen, let's look at some Proverbs.
Amen.
If you want to talk about the fool,
all right.
Then you don't know. Now, the fool is in Proverbs.
Uh-huh.
Now, we watched Rocky. We used to watch Stanford and Son.
Oh, yeah.
See, I can connect with the old folks in here. Now, Jeremy and some of you young folks, just so y'all have to watch the old reruns. We watched George Stanford fresh.
Amen.
And he had a saying. He had two. I'm gonna use both of them in this sermon. But he had one. He had about his son all the time. Y'all know what it is. He didn't call him a fool, but the same word. Son was always doing something stupid. And he said, You big dummy! That's what the world is calling you. The world is calling you in, and at the same time, calling you a big dummy. You big dummy! You got a man of God preaching the word of God, hard and sweating, and you in church goofing around. Big dummy! You texting and writing and clowning, and there's a man trying to save your soul. You big dummy. Put that stuff up and hear what thus say the word of God. Now, if I was up here just saying what I believe, then you have a right to goof off. Big dummy. Look at Proverbs 26:3. A whip for a horse, a bridle for an ass or a donkey, and a rod for a fool's back. That's the word of God. That's not me. He says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Here's one. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander, is a fool. Proverbs 10:18. How about this one? Proverbs 10:23. It is sport to a fool to do mischief. All a fool knows is to do foolishness. But a man of understanding has wisdom.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple more. Y'all patient with me. Be patient with me. Just Proverbs 12 and 15. This is a good one. You can write them down straight out of the Bible. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Let me say that again. Because some of y'all think y'all got all the answers.
She said, I heard a man say, I thought my father was a fool when I was 15, but when I became 25, I realized he was right. Mm-hmm. See, some of y'all know everything at 12, 13, and 14. Can't tell you nothing. Got all the answers. Let me read this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearken unto the counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:5. I'm going to be done. I have one more after that. A fool despises his father's instructions. How about that, Nate? A fool despises his father's instructions. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent, is sensible, is wise, is careful. Now you can substitute that. Father, uncle, grandfather, anyone that loves you and giving you wise counsel. See, biblically, once you was kin, you was considered family. Here's a good one. Last one. Proverbs 26:11. Familiar. Y'all familiar with this? This is for those who fake. Fake. Like, you know, I'm saved. You know, you young girls, you meet a brother. You know, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I'm a Christian. Really? Look at 26:11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool to his folly. That sound nasty, don't it? But it is nasty. God has given you instructions, have delivered you from a life of sin and debauchery, and like a dog returning to his vomit, you rather go right back into that same mess. That is nasty. So is sin. And we all know that the wages of sin is death. There's no unemployment line in Satan's economy. Everybody's getting paid to serve Satan. The wages of sin is death. And he'll give you a raise and make you a foreman. He'll make you a supervisor. You'll be top dog. Paul says to you young folks, see then that you walk your way of life is circumspectly, not as fools. Can I share this scripture? First Peter, and this is just fascinating, because I think this is what we deal with on a regular. First Peter chapter 2, verse number 12. And Peter and Paul, even though they had different beginnings in the Lord, they agreed. You sound like you listen to Peter when you listen to Paul, and sound like Paul when you listen to Peter. The Word of God is so beautiful. Amen. Look at 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Let me start at verse 11. Let me start at verse 10. Let me start at verse 9. It's raining outside. But you are a chosen generation. I love verse 9. A royal priesthood. Remember that, saved folks. God's talking to you. This is you. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. Don't worry about being different. Don't worry about when folk call you weird and strange because you don't partake in the things they do. There's nothing wrong with being peculiar. Some of us in here wish we was peculiar at a younger age. Some of us wouldn't be in the mess that we in now if we would have been a little more peculiar. some of us still paying for it because we weren't peculiar enough people. Say amen, sister. That ye should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love that.
Amen.
Out of darkness. Into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Before God called us, we were just fools. But now we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Paul says that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says that he was ignorant, but he obtained mercy. And then God enabled him and placed him into the ministry. God is so good. Paul was so wicked, but God, being so merciful, blessed Paul. And we all being blessed by Paul. Look at verse 11. 12 is our verse. Dearly beloved, now we've obtained mercy. We weren't a people, but now look how God's word talks to us.
Amen.
Dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. I beseech you, I beg you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Young folks, fight now while you're strong, while you're at the height of your energy. You strong. Listen, that's why they call you into the armed forces, into the Navy, into the Marines. That's why you go to college when you're 17, 18, and 19, because you're strong.
Yeah.
They ain't calling us to the army when we're in our 50s.
No.
Been through too much. You strong right now. If you can't fight off the lust of the flesh now, fight now while you're strong. Serve God now while you're strong.
Amen.
Serve God while you're strong. Give him your very best. Give him your very best. Jillian, give him your very best. Keelan, give him your very best. You have your whole life to serve God. Think of all the people you could bless by serving God from the time you're 12 and 13 years old until you're 80.
Yeah.
Some of us come to the Lord, we can only give them half our life.
Amen.
You can give them your very best.
Yeah.
You can give them your very best.
Yeah.
CJ, keep us staying in church.
Did I say his name right?
TJ, stay in church. Call Jacob. Say, Jake, come get me. Take him to Dairy Queen every Sunday if you have to, Jake. Until you get to understanding. Run out of money, feed Teddy. Keep him in church. Keep the babies in church.
Amen.
Keep the babies in church.
Amen.
Stay in church, young people. Stay under the word of God. If I stop preaching, go somewhere else.
Amen.
Having, verse 12, back to the word. Having your conversation. Talking about walking circumspectly, your conversation means everything about you. This don't mean just talking. Having your conversation honest. We ought not be wearing and dressing and acting like the world.
Yeah.
We ought to dress different.
Yes, sir.
We ought to walk different.
Uh-huh.
We ought to laugh at different stuff.
Yes, sir.
Some places we ought not just don't go.
Right.
Something we ought not look at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having your conversation honest among the unsaved, among the Gentiles, That whereas when they speak against you as evildoers, how about this? And they will. They will. You start living for God. You start serving God. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy 2 and 12, 3 and 12, all who desire to live godly for Christ shall be persecuted. That's why we get into this armor. We're going to put this armor on in a couple of. We're going to put this armor on in chapter 6. We ain't taking it off neither. When they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold. How about that? Which they shall behold. Can't hide this. Just a little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. They cannot not see the light of a truly saved individual. No one should say to me, if I say, well, yeah, I know him. He go to our church. Really? I would never thought he went to church.
Amen.
Let your light shine, young people. Old folks. Middle age.
Yeah.
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine, doors. Let it shine. Let it shine. Redeeming the time. Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 5. Redeeming the time. Oh, it gets good. What's he talking about? Redeeming the time. Valuable. Time is valuable. To redeem something means to that thing is valuable. You got a coupon? Half off? You gonna hold on to a good one. You get one of them free ones to handle for a free whatever. You ain't just giving that away. Redeem the time. Time he's talking about here is not hourly, not monthly. He's talking about the time here that God gives you on this earth. That's what he's talking about. The time that you have on this earth, you see, it's working toward this. This is why we want to preach the Word of God expositionally. Because it pulls it right out of verse 15. He says, then walk circumspect, not as fools but wise, redeeming the time. Let me tell you something about time. Time that we have is limited. It is set. You only have a certain amount of time on this earth. I hear folks say, I'm just wasting time, just burning time, just sitting at the dock of the bay, watching the time slip away. What kind of song is that? Wasting time. Time is valuable. Anything that's valuable is costly. Some of y'all around Christmas time, you know, hot toy come out. You gotta get it. Cindy and I used to go to Bayou City. We ride by there. We like, oh, we love Bayou City. But one thing about Bayou City, if you see the deal, you got it right then. You ain't say, well, I'll come back next week. Bayou City did not restock the shelves. If you see it, you got it. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Time is limited. The world wants to eat, drink, and be merry. Go for it. James 4 and 14 puts it like this. He said, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? Think about it now. What is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanished away? Sin and I've been married 30 years this year. 30 years. Ain't that something? She was a baby when I robbed the cradle. Years. Some of us been out of school 40 years. And some of us was cheerleaders. that something? Time is limited. Listen, time also is passing. Second point, time is passing. It's passing. Listen, look at Psalms 90. This is a good one. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80. If strength, you make it to 80. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. The older you get, the more strength it takes to live. And the more sorrow you will see. The older you get, the more folks you're going to bury. Then Moses wrote this, not David. Because Moses lived to be 120. It says, not only that, it says, for it is soon cut off. And we fly away. That's written to saints. Because everybody just get cut off, ain't flying. Some people ain't leaving the ground. Everybody ain't flying away. Listen, Cindy gonna get me. I had one of her Avon books yesterday. Time is passing. The Avon book got all these replenishing anti-aging creams. And I looked at it, I'm like, I'm gonna get me an illustration out of this Avon book. Then they had the platinum aging, anti-aging cream. This is to combat serious signs of aging. Then it had the ultimate. This is for the advanced signs of aging. I ain't putting no numbers on this stuff. Then it had number three, the reversalist. This is for moderate signs of aging. Then it had a fourth one. Avon is great marketing people. The rejuvenator. This is for early signs. Okay. Jackie got a bottle of that on her dresser. Listen. I know. Listen, you can get the stomach surgery, plastic surgery, you can get a hip hop ab workout, treadmills, Dr. Siesta, Atkins Diet, Planet Fitness, WYMCA, whatever. You can stop eating pork, fried foods, smoking, drinking. Guess what? I don't know anybody over 100. I don't know anybody over 100. Our time is passing. You have an appointment. You have an appointment that surgery and exercise and treadmills will not cancel. Amen. And you can look young at 80. And I've been to many funerals. They said, she sure looked good. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Listen. Not only is our time limited and our time is passing, but our time is uncertain. Listen. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. You better praise the Lord today. Because tomorrow and next Sunday is not guaranteed. You know, we've been fortunate. But there's churches all over this country today that there's some members that ain't show up today. Amen. That was there Sunday. Amen. That sang in the choir. That were ushering. Uh-huh. That were good members. And they're not here this Sunday. The parable of the rich fool illustrates this thing so plainly, so plain that I have to read it. Luke chapter 12. In verse 16. I'm just taking off. Here's Jesus. talking about covetousness, talking about having abundance of things. Then they didn't really get it, so he spoke a parable to him. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Listen to how many times I say I. Because a fool, you talk to a fool and they talk about themselves a lot. I. Listen for, you know you're talking to a fool. When you talk to them, they always talking about I. Okay? But that's their conversation. It's all about them. They don't care about nobody else. And this rich fool didn't care about nobody else. He ain't missing his wife. He ain't missing his kids. He ain't missing his grandkids. He ain't missing none of his helpers. Is it all about him? Now watch what he says. This fool. And he thought within himself. That's the scary thing. Saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I am mine and myself. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is Jesus talking. But God said unto him, not his soul now, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Uh-oh. Who provided it? Every good and perfect gift come from above. The fool don't know that though. Fool think I did this. I'm the self-made man. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God. I hope that helps somebody. I know we ain't got no fools in here. I'm trying to chase them out if we do. Our time is uncertain. Our time is uncertain. You know, we did one Red Fox. So I look up Red Fox. I looked this stuff up. I remember it. But Red Fox do something. He knew his time was passing. He had another famous quote. He says, Elizabeth, I'm coming to be with you. Okay? He said, Elizabeth, I'm coming to be with you. And I don't know where Elizabeth was at. But he knew something. I'm thinking. He always looked up when he said it. Listen, our time is uncertain. Our time is passing. Our time is limited. But Bible says redeem the time. You know what? Jesus came here for one purpose. To die for the sins of the world. To die for our sins. But on his way to the cross, he redeemed the time. He took every opportunity he could to save a soul, to do ministry. And you are never more Christ-like than when you are being interrupted by this world. This world will interrupt you. And if you do not handle your interruptions properly, you will be in trouble. See, we have to handle our interruptions like Jesus. And I ask too many people, I'm busy. Caller ID. I'm running late. Do not disturb signs. Pull the shade. We don't want to be bothered. We don't want to be bothered. Jesus was always interrupted. Listen. Some of the greatest stories in the Bible came through Jesus being interrupted. Some of the greatest sermons you will ever hear, some of the greatest stories in the Word of God came while Jesus was being interrupted. Listen, I'm just going to go through a few of them. I got time. I'm not going to elaborate on it because you know the stories. But in John 8, and you just write them down. John 8, 1 through 11. Jesus was teaching. This is what I have to look at. Jesus was teaching. The Bible said he was teaching. This says in verse 8:1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them.
Yes.
Jesus was a teacher.
Right.
And he taught them. He was up early teaching them. And the scribes and the Pharisees interrupted him and brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, in the midst of him teaching, in the midst of him teaching the word of God, how rude. How rude. Jesus didn't say, how rude of you guys. He listened to them. And they say, the master, this woman has been taken in the very act of adultery. This they said, tempting him. Because they knew she was going to be stoned, and I'm just paraphrasing. And he stooped down, verse 8, and wrote on the ground. Now, somebody asked me when I first came to church, what did he write? I think it was Margaret. Margaret always asked me questions like that. I said, Margaret, he probably wrote the names down of every one of them Pharisees' girlfriends. He probably got down in the dirt and he probably wrote down. I said, I tried to be careful. I don't want to name none of y'all's names, but y'all, some of y'all are thin-skinned. Uh-oh. He probably wrote down Sally, Emma, and Norma. I know what next week is. Oh Lordy. But he was interrupted. Now here's one we're really familiar with. In Luke 8. Jesus was preaching again to the crowd. And Jairus came up to Jesus. And he said, Jairus, my young daughter is dying. Come to her. Interrupted. And Jesus started to follow Jairus. But he stopped. He stopped because he was interrupted from going to Jairus' house. He says, who touched me? He didn't say, why are you touching me? I'm on my way to Jairus' house. I'm busy. I'm running late. He said, who touched me? Then the woman admitted that she touched him, and Jesus wasn't afraid of interrupting folks. Because when he got to the house, he interrupted the party. He interrupted the celebration because the mourners was out there mourning her death. And Jesus interrupted them, and they mocked him and laughed at him. And then Jesus interrupted death. He interrupted. Mark chapter 1, those been coming out on Wednesday night. He was teaching in a synagogue, and there was a man there with an unclean spirit. And he interrupted Jesus. He was walking away from that synagogue, and he was walking down the road, and a man full of leprosy, as Luke said, came up and said, if thou can thou can make me whole. He was interrupted again.
Yeah.
And then in Mark 2, verse 1 through 12, he was preaching in Peter's house. And it was noised about, and all the city was there. And Jesus preaching, and they teared a hole through the roof. Jesus was interrupted. How do you handle your interruptions? Life will interrupt you. Life will interrupt you. How are you going to handle your interruptions without being rooted and grounded in the Word of God? Jesus was relaxing one evening after healing folks all day, and Nicodemus came to him at night saying, Master, we know thou art from God. And Jesus said, well, if you know that, then you already knew that I knew that you was coming and that you knew that. He said, what you need is to be born again. He was interrupted, but he turned that interruption into a blessing for Nicodemus. Listen. Here's one of my favorite ones. He was teaching. And he was heading on the way, and here come one running, kneeling,
saying to Jesus in Mark 10:17, the rich young ruler. And he says, what must I do to be saved? See, some people got Jesus confused with the Pope. And Jesus, I'm not the Pope. There's nothing you can do. There's no work you can do to be saved.
Amen.
You are saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You are saved because of what I'm going to do. He said, go sell all that you have and come follow me and I'll show you. When I climb up on Calvary's cross, what you need to do to be saved.
Amen.
And the rich young ruler, that's a hard thing. I'm caught up in all this mess and I got too much stuff to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So he really didn't want to know. But even on Calvary's cross, turn to Luke, please. 23. This is the last verse. I'll say, yeah, tricky. I'm not tricking you.
No.
That's right. Look at Jesus. Luke 23. Even in his dying. Now, folks, listen. Some of y'all think you're going to die in peace because you're Christians. We need to ask God for dying grace.
Amen.
When David was dying, he was blessing his children. And you may be in here and you may be on your deathbed. And one day you may be on your deathbed, but don't think you're going to go out any kind of way. Go out blessing your folks. Show them how a saint of God handles death. Show them how a saint of God is just ready to die. And God blessing folks. God being a blessing. Oh, that's hard stuff. You say that now. You know, you just don't know. I'm just saying what the Word of God says. Even in Jesus dying, even in his dying, they interrupted his dying. They interrupted his dying. In verse 36, and the soldiers also mocked him. Verse 35, the people still behold him, and the rulers also derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ. They interrupted his dying. And the soldiers also mocked him. Fools. Watch who you mock. Other young people like to crack on folks and tell and roast folks. Be careful how you're roasting folks. Then in verse 39, in his dying. In one of the malefactors which hang railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. Jesus didn't answer him. See, you don't have to answer everybody.
Amen.
I don't want people to think that everybody calling me. Listen, if a knucklehead call you, a fool call you, and they want to mock you, you ain't got to give him the time of day. There's other work to do.
Amen.
See, some of you know what you're saying. I don't deal with everybody.
Okay.
But you're going to get mocked in this world.
Amen.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You live right, you're going to get mocked. You're going to be hated. Listen, even in his dying, he was interrupted. But the other, answering, rebuked him. Not Jesus, he rebuked his friend.
Amen.
I'm getting away from that stuff. See, some of you young folks need to get away from some folks.
Amen.
See, you need to come to church and say, you know what? I don't need to sit by you because you're just a knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I need this. See, young folks die too.
Amen.
There ain't no age limit on it.
Okay,
need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
We can go outside and play later.
Amen.
Listen. He was interrupted on the cross. Verse 41, we indeed justly take a step of salvation. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Interrupted. On his deathbed. He's interrupted. Then he say, well, you know, man, listen. You had plenty of time to come to the Lord. He's waiting on you up on this cross. I'm dying now. I ain't got time for you. No, that ain't the Jesus that we serve.
Amen.
And Jesus said unto him, verily,
I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Jesus was the master of handling the interruption. Mm-hmm. Folks, listen.
Mm-hmm.
We need to redeem the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because the days are evil.
Uh-huh.
The days are evil. And I'm not even going to start next week. We're going to talk about why are the days evil. How are you handling your interruptions? Michelle, you're going to be interrupted by that surgery. That's the interruption. You have plans. We can't plan everything. We talked about this morning. You can't plan miracles. Some folks say, "Well, God be having a miracle service." No. Every miracle in this Bible was unplanned.
Amen.
Father, thank you.
Thank you
for the Word of God. Father, we need to redeem the time. Time is short. Our lives are short. A mistake we can make today at 13, 14, and 15 can have long-lasting ramifications. Can cause us a lifetime of problems because something we do at a young age. Father, I pray for these young people. Pray, Father God, that they will be strong and wise.
Amen.
Father, we pray for those that are here, that have the patience to hear the word, that want to get strong, that want to grow, that want to learn. Father, bless them. Give them, Father God, dying grace. As we prepare to leave this place, Father God, we all leaving here. Let us be ready. Let it be a joyful occasion because we know you as Lord and Savior. Father God, let us redeem the time. Let us be wise. Let us open up your word, Father God, on a regular basis and learn about you. Father, we pray for this church. We pray for our beloved deacon. We pray for our minister that's absent. We pray for all those that are in nursing homes and hospitals.
Yes.
We pray for families that have to care for their aged loved ones, their mothers and fathers. Father God, the word says it, honor thy mother and father.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God. We have members here, Father God, that have taken care of their elderly parents and relatives. Most of all, Father God, we pray that the Holy Spirit, Father God, that with just indwell this place, and fill our hearts and our souls that we can go out into a dark and sick and dying world and shine as lights. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.